Hello, Ebenezer family. It is so good just to be back together in the spirit, and we just thank God for what he's doing. I'm just amazed. Someone sent me a text the other day, said, has God gotten our attention yet with the hurricanes? And we personally had some lights that were out and Wi-Fi is down. That's big where Wi-Fi goes down. But you know what? Through it all, the Lord is so good. When the lights went out, everything was out. I actually went over to Bianca and we just kind of sat down. And I said, you know, it's pretty nice being just quiet, And I remember growing up when a storm would come, especially a thunderstorm, my grandma, Mary Aiken, she was like, go somewhere and be quiet. Sit down and be quiet because the Lord is doing his work. And I really believe that God is up to something special in this season and time. He wants us as saints to be close to him as we've been dealing with that whole topic of an encounter with the Lord. Just some announcements. Thank you so much for just staying connected to ebcnc.com. We got so much going on. And that's, I just give glory to God for just preparing us for this season. Also, don't forget about all our online activities. We have Monday Bible studies, Tuesday Bible studies, Wednesday Bible studies, and also we have special teachings that are on our website that can encourage different parts of the body of Christ. Don't forget about our Sunday in-person services. Lord is really blessed. We are social distancing, masks, or coverings, however you proclaim those, but we are just making sure we're doing all the things that we need to do to stay safe, or as safe as we can. So that 8:30, 10, and 12 p.m. Also want to encourage you, those that are online, I want you to be where you feel peace and safe. So just listen to the Lord, whatever God's speaking to you. We're just trying to reach out to as many as we can in this season so that we all can be encouraged. And I'm just excited to be a part of this body. Want to thank you so much for your giving. I wanted to bring up that scripture giving that just blessed me in 2 Corinthians 9:7. So let each one gives as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. That always encourages me. God is our provider. Well, we've got a special solo today, and I'm excited. Sister Elizabeth Jones Page will be singing for us, and she always blesses. I remember the first time coming to Ebenezer and just hearing that voice, that gift. So she'll be singing first today, and then I'll be back with a word. God is still dealing with my heart from the scriptures today, just talking about that encounter with the Lord. See you soon.
Jehovah Shammah, you are with me, and your supply of my needs, you're more than enough, Lord, you're more.
Yeah.
Lord, you're more than enough. You're more than enough for me.
By that song by Sister Paige. I'm just excited to get into the Word today. So before we get into the Word, let's go in a word of prayer. Father, I just thank you so much for this day that you've made. Please help us to rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, God, for your words that you've given us that are so powerful and so anointed. Lord, I pray for those who may not know you. Would you help them to confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you have raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It's a gift from you. Help them to receive that gift. Now, Father, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Therefore, Holy Spirit, I welcome you. Thank you that you've never failed us. So, Holy Spirit, would you teach us, guide us, and lead us into all truth? Please make this word so plain, so easy to be understood that even a small child can be transformed to be like you. Lord, we need your encouragement in these strange times. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, as we've been dealing with that whole topic of an encounter with the Lord, I pray that you've been blessed. We've come a long way, and now today we're getting into the New Testament scriptures. Today I want to look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1, and let's read that 50th verse. John 1 and 50. Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." Again, that John 1:50. Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." I want to speak from a title today, Greater Things. Greater Things. We've dealt with on this journey Moses and Jonah and Belshazzar and Abraham. Remember on last Sunday that whole intercession process and praying down to 10. Would there be 10 righteous in Sodom and Gomorrah to save the city? And we found out there wasn't, sadly. And now we deal with some physical encounters. Even though we had the theophany with Abraham, now we're dealing with Christ, who has been manifested in the flesh, grown up and started his ministry, and the physical encounters with the Son of God. In the New Testament, we'll be progressing through here and seeing how When you come in contact with Jesus, the Christ, the Anointed, in His ministry, how did that affect the people? Just a little history to get us to this point. I was thinking how far to go back, but let's just start with John the Baptist. John the Baptist was leading in. He was that precursor to Christ. He was proclaiming, "Repent, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And who can forget that memorable moment when John the Baptist actually baptized Jesus? And John says, "Hey, hey, you need to be baptizing me." In essence, Jesus says, "Suffer it to be so." From that point, John actually had disciples that were following him, but they began to transition over to Jesus, the Christ, the Anointed One. And so at this point, we're picking up as Jesus is actually encouraging those that are around him to follow him, which I always find so interesting. Let's pick up this John 1:43. It says, "The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, 'Follow me.'" I told you in this scripture, it's always amazing because it is. It's just so succinct, to the point, an encouragement, "Follow me." There's no exclamation there. It's just like he comes up on John's disciples. Some of them that were associated with John had witnessed the ministry of repentance, and Jesus just speaks the word. How that word must have just warmed their heart. I can only imagine God coming up to you and just speaking to you, manifested in the flesh. Our first point today is get a little closer. Get a little closer. Christ had been around going into his full-fledged ministry, as said before, but now he's picking up those disciples, those that have been called for this monumental moment to actually be written in history, to walk with Christ in those three powerful years of ministry. Many actually want to be around Christ, but they don't really and truly know him. There ought to be some amens. I want to say it again. Many want to be around Christ, but they don't actually truly want to know him or follow him. MacDonald writes of this particular section. He says, "The Lord walked northward in the region known as Galilee. There he found Philip and invited him to be a follower. 'Follow me.' These are great words because of the one who spoke them, and great because of the privilege they offered. The Savior is still issuing this simple yet sublime invitation to all men everywhere. 'Follow me.'" Get a little closer. God wants us not just to be around him. He wants us to be intimate with him. He wants us to know him. He already knows us, which we're going to find from the scriptures. Jesus would speak in Matthew 10:37. "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me." Listen to that scripture. "And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." Matthew 10:39. "He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." Talking about greater things. So Jesus is saying, if you want to experience those greater things, I want you to get closer. I want you to truly follow me. In the process of time, as we as saints walk with the Lord, and we're in these strange seasons, which I have brought up so often, God wants to show us greater things. It's exciting when you think about God has allowed us to be in this season of strangeness and things that are doing crazy. This Hurricane Zeta that turned into a tropical storm and really caused a lot of devastation. We think about that, and so far within past the season and so far into the winter time, this is just unheard of. And I think about that and I'm like, oh my goodness, what else can happen in 2020? But I know as we walk with the Lord, God has this. God is still in charge. John 1:44-45, it says, "Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, 'We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets,'" listen to this, "'wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.'" Here's another point. I love this one. Don't stop until you find Jesus. Don't stop until you find Jesus. It's my concern as in the seasons of our lives, as we're matriculating, that we do. We get close to the Lord. Some start after him to follow him, but some just kind of stop. They don't get close to him. They see him from afar, and we've got to come to the point that we really find out who Jesus is. Philip is excited. Notice in this scripture, he wants to share his encounter with someone else. And you got to ask yourself, do you know Christ in an intimate and special way that you want to share him with someone else? You want to tell someone else about your friend. You want to tell somebody about the God that you love and that loved you so much. Are you excited about an encounter with God? Are you excited? Can people sense that you've actually been in the presence of the Lord? And that's what I desire for the body of Christ. That's what I desire in this season and time, that people can sense God's light emanating from us. James Stewart wrote about how we become closer to Jesus. Listen to this. It never was Christ's way to demand a full-fledged faith for a beginning. It never was his way to hold men back from discipleship on the ground of an incomplete creed. And quite certainly, that is not his way today. So Christ always just simple, follow me. He never said you had to have it all right, that you had to have your life right, your life perfect. But he said, follow me and I'm going to work all that other stuff out in your life. He puts himself alongside his brethren. He bids them attach themselves to him at any point they can. He takes them with the faith that they can offer him. He is content with that as a beginning. And from that, he leads his friends on. As he led the first group on, step by step to the inmost secret of who he is and to the full glory of discipleship, greater things. There ought to be some shouts when you think about God has accepted us just as we are. Now, he wants us to grow. He doesn't want us to stay babies, but he's accepted us just as we were. Wherever we were in our issues of our life, those who are saved and have been sanctified and filled with his spirit, aren't you glad that God just took you in because he loved you and he cared about you? And this whole process that we can't stop till we truly find out who Jesus is all about. Now, I want you to look at this, John 1:46. And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Isn't that good? Here's another point. Get to know him for yourself. Yes, get to know him for yourself. So you can kind of see where we're walking from. Many know Jesus from afar. Now we want to follow him. We want to get to intimate with him. But we got to know him for ourselves. Let me explain this. This Nazareth, as we've been talking about with Nathanael. Nathanael said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Because Nazareth was the ghetto of the time. It was the poor, impoverished place. Nothing really good came out of. It was known as the hood of the time. And brokenness and pain was in that area. And he's like, can anything good come out of Nazareth? You saying that you found the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah one? Are you sure? But notice, there's not a whole bunch of conversation. Philip just brings it. He said, come and see for yourself. We've got to get to know Christ for ourselves. Nathanael was actually caught up in hearsay. Yeah, stuff that he had heard about Nazareth and had been passed down to him from Nazareth. And his mindset was on the thought that nothing good can come out of that sector. So many say that they've had an encounter with the Lord, but they're really telling about an encounter that someone else had. Can I say that again? So many people, and I've been in church all my life, and I've heard over and over that people talk about they've had an encounter with the Lord, but really when you get around them, you find out they're excited about what happened to someone else, or they're actually telling about an encounter that happened to someone else, but they've never really gotten close to God for themselves. They sing about other people's encounters. They tell people about other people's encounters, and they get excited when they go to church just to see other people. or they get excited to see the choir sing about their relationship, or the preacher to preach about his relationship, or the deacons to pray and testify about their relationship. But the problem is the people never really give a testimony of themselves. I'm not talking about physically standing up in a building, but the testimony of living for Christ. I'm talking about greater things. You must have your own testimony. People must know that you have actually been with the Lord and God dwells on the inside of you. There should be some times in your life that you can't contain it. When you begin to think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for you, there should be a movement on the inside. It should be like a wheel in the middle of wheel that every time you think about, you know what, I know who Christ is, and you get excited about that. I'm talking about greater things. John 1:47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." Now this is important. In the scripture, there's a lot that's coming out. So Jesus sees Nathanael. Nathanael doesn't know who Christ is. He's just gotta, hey, come and see who it is. This is the Messiah. There has been no real interaction, but Jesus says something. He says, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." So where does that come from? You've got to go back to your history. And so this is a historical statement. He's actually going back to his forefather Jacob. Remember, generation, we studied that in our Wednesday night Bible study. So that Jacob, he was known as a deceiver. Remember that whole birthright and all the stuff that was going on with that. He was deceiver. And in his life, it came up until his name was changed to Israel. One translation is overcomer. So he's bringing back. So he's saying, you know what? Many people who came out of Jacob's line were deceivers, but I know you, your heart is tender. You've been trying to do the right thing. The one who has no deceit that's in him. Here's a point out of this. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you. Now, as I think about all of these processes that have been going on just in Jesus saying, I can't help but to think about our lives and to know that Christ saw us really before we saw him. Isn't that good? Think about it. He saw us. He knew us before we even could even conceptualize who he was. Jeremiah 1:5 said it like this. He says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nation." This is critical in our lives to know that God has a purpose for me. He has a purpose for you. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter your economical status. It doesn't matter your political association. When you come to Jesus, he has a purpose for you. Just as he had a purpose for Nathanael, he knew his life and how it was being formed. God has a purpose for us. And I'm telling you, in these times, we have to give ourselves wholly to the Lord. He has so many greater things for us. Jesus wasn't calling Nathanael perfect. Please understand that. Just saying, "I know you have been searching for the truth." He was saying that, "I know you, Nathanael. You've been searching for the truth, and God knows your heart." Some of you have been struggling. I know during this 8 months now of going through with COVID-19, and you've been struggling, and you've been trying to figure out who you are. I want to give you a word today. God loves you, and he wants you to fulfill the purpose that he has for your life. He wants you to come to the point of realizing that there's so many things that he wants you to do, specifically greater things. Now look at John 1:48. Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." I want to read that again. John 1:48. Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Here's another point. He knows you. Yes, he knows you. so often it's sad. We try to hide ourselves from so many people, and we put up these fronts and we put up these masks. It's interesting that we're in a time of wearing masks, but we do. We put masks up, and when we leave our homes, we put on a different personality. When we go to our jobs, we put on a different personality. When we used to come to church on a regular basis, we put on a different personality. So some people would do that, but please know you can't do that with the Lord. You could try to do that, but He knows you. He knows your secret sins. He knows your struggles. He knows every thought that's in your mind. And so Nathaniel, he brings out, how do you know me? How do you know me? I don't know who you are, but God knows us all. He desires so much for us to have an encounter with Him, to get close to Him, because He knows exactly what we need. We often try to come to God in a way that, you know, that we don't want to open up to Him, that we don't want to submit to Him. We want God, but we don't want Him to really crack open our hearts, in a sense, and get close to us. Charlotte Elliott, she brought this, and this should be encouraged, because some of you, as said before, are going through some things, and in your heart, you want to get close, but you got some struggles. You got some things that you've been dealing with for a long time, and especially in this time, you're kind of struggling with some things. Listen to this. She said, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot. O Lamb of God, I come. She goes on, she said, just as I am, though tossed about, any people tossed about with many a conflict and many a doubt, fightings and fears within and without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, welcome, pardon, and cleanse, relieve. Because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. I'm talking about greater things. You don't have to be worried about coming to God. He will accept you just as you are. He wants to embrace you. He wants you to bring your baggage, bring your issue, bring your struggles. He has greater things for you, but you got to get closer to Him. You got to want to know Him. Don't stop until you truly find out who He is. Look at John 1:49. Nathanael answered and said to Him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Here's another point. Do you really know who He is? Do you really know who He is? I find this verse very interesting. All Jesus really says, He says, you know what? I know your character. I know that you're without guile. I know that there's no deceit in you. And I saw you under the fig tree. You didn't see me, but I saw you. And all of this, all these things came together. And Nathanael goes, teacher, you got to be the Son of God. No one has been able to really see me for who I really was. And that's the great thing when you come to God. God sees you for who you are, and you can open up to Him, and you can cry to Him. Sometimes you can share with people and they don't understand you. I've heard this. I've talked to people and they may tell me, Pastor, you don't understand me. And you know what? That could be true, because I don't know your heart, but I'm so glad that you can take it to the Lord, and He knows every intimate thought. He knows every struggle. As said before, you can bring it to Him. Do you really know who He is? Do we really know the Christ, the Anointed One? Do our actions show this? Now we're getting to the point of greater things. If we know who He is, if we can proclaim that He is the Messiah, He's the King of Israel, now our actions have to follow that. Some people say that they know who He is, but their actions don't follow that. People don't see the portrayal of Christ, that He's risen and He's powerful in us. So if we truly know who He is, then we're going to show some sign. People are going to see that there's something different about us. I'm talking about greater things. I was reading Psalms 145 the other day, and it just struck me. I've gone over it many times, but it really showed me a picture of what it means to know who Christ is. Psalms 145:1. Listen to this. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. There ought to be some shouts out there. One generation shall praise your works to another, shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Psalms 145 says, men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. I'm talking about greater things. When you come to know who God is, man, there's a praise that rises up on you. Worship comes over you because you know I celebrate and know the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I celebrate and know the one who can control the hurricane, the one who can control the tropical storm, the one who can control the earthquakes that are going on, the one that can control the tsunamis that occur. All of these things, God is in control. I'm talking about greater things. When we know who God is, there should be something that happens on the inside. Even as I'm talking about him right now, there should be something on the inside of you that says, I know him for myself. I'm talking about greater things. Look at John 1:50. Jesus answered and said to him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter, you shall see heaven open and the angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Isn't this good? Isn't this good? Here's the point. I love this one. Sweeter and sweeter. Yes, sweeter and sweeter. Jesus proposing him, like, you're all excited just because I told you that. And I think this is astronomical when you think about it. It wasn't much, but now Nathaniel is on fire for the Lord. And for some of us, it takes, God has to do miracle after miracle after miracle. Just the fact that he woke us up this morning, started us on the way, should have been enough to just give him praise. And so many of us, we have to have all of these things happen in life before we give him praise. I want us to be just like Nathaniel, that we just get a little bit of the Lord and we get plumb excited thinking about how good he is, and this whole process that he does gets sweeter and sweeter as we walk with the Lord. There's an old hymn written by Robert Clare Lovelace. It says, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love him more and more. Jesus saves and keeps me, and he's the one I'm waiting for. Every day with Jesus is sweetest than the day before. Isn't that good? Jesus now describes the greater things. Yes, he describes that. He's actually referring to an Old Testament story. Remember Jacob. We talked about the deceiver, Jacob's ladder. There was a time that he had a vision, a dream of this ladder going up and down, angels descending. And so now that prophecy is revealed within this. Christ himself was to be that ladder. Yes, he was the ladder between God and man. He was that intersection that actually gets us into the presence of God. He was the Son of God. He was the one that would carry our sins and bear our griefs. He was the one. But the Lord wants us to have an encounter with him. He wants us on a daily basis so that we can experience who he is. Every day should get sweeter and sweeter than the day before, because we're learning more about the Lord. We're learning more about who he is in these trying times. That's why we've got to trust Jesus more. That's why you got to know him more than you ever known him before. You got to know the miracle maker. You got to know the one that could heal the sick and raise the dead. But you got to know the one that went to the Garden of Gethsemane. You got to know the one that was betrayed and beaten for you. You got to know the one that goes to the cross of Calvary. You got to know the one that took nails in his hands and nails in his feet. You got to know the one that looked off from that cross and said, Father, forgive them, but they know not what they do. And you got to say, you know what, even though I wasn't physically there, I was vicariously there, and God, I thank you for forgiving me. You got to know the one that looked to that thief on the side of him and said, this day thou should be with me in paradise. You got to know the one that when he died, all of a sudden the sun refused to shine. There was an earthquake that broke out and the veil of the temple was ripped from the top to the bottom. You got to know the one that they took his lifeless body off the cross and put him in a cold tomb. You got to know the one that laid there the first day, laid there the second day, but there ought to be some shouts right now. On the third day, he got up with all power and all glory. I'm talking about greater things Yes, Jesus! He's paid the price for us so that we can get to know him, that we can have a true encounter with him. And then he says something in John 14:12. This is a promise. When you get to know who he is, he says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. John 14:13. And whatever you ask in my name, listen to this, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Oh, I'm talking about greater things. When you get to know him, and I've had a good journey with him, and I'm learning more about my God and how much he loves us. I'm telling you, when we get in his will, he'll answer our prayers. Yes, he'll change some things. And Lord knows we need to be praying for our nation. We need to be praying during this season. We need to be praying for the world, that God will save more souls and deliver and set free. God can do it. I've seen him work. And there ought to be some saints that I've seen him do it. I've seen him work. He wants greater things in our lives. Yes, you may say, Pastor, I want that. I want that. But you don't know him. And you're examining yourself. Don't forget about Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, it said you will be saved. And at Romans 10:10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Accept him today. Don't go another day wondering about who he is. Don't stop until you get to know him. Get to know him intimately today. You may say, Pastor, what about all the other stuff in my life, all the struggles and issues? We've talked about that over and over again, Ephesians 2:8. For by grace through faith, not of yourself, it is a gift of God. Will you accept that gift today? Man, God is building up an army of saints that love him in season and out of season, that know who he is, and they can say, man, I'm seeing greater things. In my family, I'm seeing greater things. In my job, I'm seeing greater things. When I go out, I'm seeing greater things. In my life, I'm seeing greater things. Not because I'm so grand and so great, but because I know the one who is greater than all. Oh, I'm talking about Jesus. For those who truly know him, God wants more of you. Yes, he wants you to fulfill your purpose. He wants you to walk in faith in him. He wants you to fall head over heels in love with him every day, to learn more about him and what he wants to do in us. And I encourage you, God wants a revival in your life today. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this word. I'm just excited. I'm excited thinking about you and amazed at what you continue to do over and over, how you call disciples in a simple way, but a profound way, and lives are changed. Thank you for your calling upon our lives. Oh Lord, help us to desire you more, to want those greater things that you have for us. Thank you, God, for who you are. I just give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Have you got all in your vessel, your lamp trimmed and burning? Lord, be ready when the bridegroom come. I came to Jesus just as I was. Lord, I was wounded and sad. Lord, I found in him, Lord, a resting place. Lord, he has made me glad. Have you got all in your vessel and your lamp trimmed and burning? Or be ready when the bridegroom comes.
happy to have you with our family today as we take communion on another first Sunday. The Lord has truly, truly blessed us. I've just been thinking about all the testimonies that have come to me, how God's been working in families, and I'm just excited about the grace and mercy of the Lord. So I'm going to ask Joy if she'd give us the communion scripture as we celebrate in this holy time what Christ has done for us. Joy.
Scripture comes from Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 through 28. Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins."
Amen. Just think about Jesus going into that upper room, and also within 1 Corinthians 11, on that 23 through 32, it talks about that we have to think about the things in our life. It said, "For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged." And that whole process, it says, "But let a man examine himself or herself." So I ask you right now to examine yourself. If there's anything that's in your heart that the Holy Spirit's bringing out now, repent. Just ask God to forgive you. If that person is around, go to them real quick, give them a hug, say, "I'm sorry." And if you can't get to a person, hey, give it to the Lord, and when you get an opportunity, go and just ask for forgiveness and move on with your life in Jesus. So just want to give you a little time to process that, and then afterwards we're going to go into prayer. So allow the Holy Spirit just to examine your heart for a moment. Well, at this time, I'm going to ask someone to pray over our bread and our juice as we go into this communion portion.
Let's pray. Father, we just praise you and thank you for this time that you've given, that we might remember your sacrifice on the cross, Lord. We ask that you would first examine our hearts, Lord. Allow us to repent of anything that may have come between you and us. And then, Lord, we ask that you would bless this bread and bless this juice, that we might remember your sacrifice, your blood and your body sacrificed for us. We praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. When Jesus went into the upper room, it was Passover, and he picked up the bread. It was unleavened bread, and he broke it before the disciples. At that point, the disciples started realizing there's something serious that's going on. When he broke it, he gave them all a portion of that same loaf. And as he gave them that portion, it represented his body. When I think about just the Savior's body being broken for all of us, it just blesses my heart to know that surely he did bear our griefs and carry our pains. Jesus also grabbed a goblet of wine, and they would actually be sharing it around the table. And he pours it to all of the people, and we use that, the different cups, but they would actually drink for that same goblet that would represent unity. And of course, the redness of that juice represents his blood that was shed for us. So as we pass around the juice, I want us to think about all that the Lord has done for us. As we grab the bread, I want us to think about that this is or represents Jesus' body that was broken for us. As often as we eat it, let us do it in remembrance of him. Let us eat together. We grab the juice. I want us to think about this represents his blood that was shed for us. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Let us drink together. Now, after they had eaten and drunk, scriptures say that they went to the garden where they sang a song. And so I'm going to ask our family just to lead us in a song as we think about the mercies of our God. Isn't that good to know that we're going to stay right under the blood? You be blessed.